Today's sermon is called Table Scraps. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. O God of our hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, God of our dreams and hopes and possibilities for justice, peace, compassion, and mercy, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I loved today's scripture. I think it really kicks off our program year with a bang and something to sink our teeth into, doesn't it? Because here we understand in plain terms what counts as real faith. And more importantly, we see God's reign is neither easily regulated nor decorously parceled out. The abundance of this kingdom is evident. God is bigger than that. Come on, say it with me. God is bigger than that. Isn't that nice? The setting in this story, I think, is a little bit weird. Why is Jesus in Tyre, of all places? This is way far away from Galilee. It's on the Phoenician coast in modern-day Lebanon. Why is Jesus alone and seeking to elude everyone's notice? And how did this woman learn about and find him, since he wanted to be there secretly? And weirdest of all, why is Jesus so rude? This jarring portrait that up to this point, he's been all softness and grace. Jesus, in fact, never refuses a direct request to heal someone in our scripture. But here, Jesus responds with a denigrating insult, calling her and her afflicted daughter dogs. Is Jesus categorizing these people as unclean Gentiles? Wait a minute, he just gave us a lesson on the folly of purity in last week's scripture, right? Like I said, there's a lot of questions here. Are the woman and her daughter dogs because they're wealthy? Because the Syrians and Phoenicians have historically not been Israel's nicest neighbors? Is Jesus lumping the mother and the daughter together with other folks in Tyre who oppose the Jews in their city? Jesus' motives aren't clear, but his words in the opening verses here, they give us pause because they are so out of character with our kind and compassionate Savior. What's going on? What is the underlying purpose here? Is this woman simply passing a test or winning an argument? In my research for this week, I've come across some scholars that say Jesus is just being playful. He's given the woman a chance to express the faith that he knows dwells within her before he gladly heals her daughter. Well, I guess that's possible, but that would make the story pretty unique within the Gospel of Mark, and the woman then would be the only person who has to endure and own a derogatory slur before receiving Jesus' mercy. So I'm not sure this is a friendly gotcha kind of thing. For my two cents, Jesus means what he says. He has no intention of expelling the demon from the Syrophoenician girl. But this is one of the few times in the Gospels where we, as humans, desperate in our circumstances, laid low by life, we come to God with open hearts and can show our God that we will wait until God can fill us up. However, like the persistent widow, we won't go away or be denied. In saying, let the children be fed first, Jesus implies that time isn't now. Blessings may come to Gentiles in time, but for now, his work is on behalf of the Jews. His answer is not absolutely not. It's just not just yet. And this interpretation seems most in line with the story that Mark tells. Also notice Jesus expels the demon because of this reasoning the woman puts forward. It's because of her truth, her statement. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. It's about her argument, her logic, just as with Job or Moses or Abraham. We can talk and argue with God. That should give us courage, even more so. In this story, God listens. She doesn't just turn around. Jesus' metaphors of crumbs and canines to fit her wants. She recognizes somehow a certain abundance about the things Jesus is up to. Let's remember, Jesus feeding the multitude. She might say after hearing this, "Go ahead, children, eat all you want. But what if your table can't contain all the food that Jesus brings?" The excess then starts spilling to the floor, doesn't it? Then, now, forevermore. There's always morsels overflowing the baskets when it comes to God and the presence of God, doesn't it? The woman also recognizes the potency of food. She doesn't demand to be treated as one of the metaphorical children. She says this. Here's the basis of what she's saying. All right. "Look, mister," she says, "I'm not asking for a seat at the table, but my daughter, she's suffering. All I need from you is a crumb or two. I don't want a seat at the table. All I need from you is a crumb or two. I know that will do the job. But I am going to need that right now." She seems to understand that Jews and Gentiles are in the same boat in terms of what makes all of them defiled. And so here, why should Gentiles have to wait to participate in the blessings of Jesus coming? Immediately after leaving Tyre, Jesus' work goes in a new direction. He cures a deaf man, he feeds 4,000 people, and those events happen in a region inhabited mostly by Gentiles. Mark doesn't call attention to the ethnic identity of these people, but it seems that Jesus takes the Syrophoenician mother's wisdom to heart. Gentiles receive blessings now, too. The woman's persistence benefits more than just one little girl. Her persistence has changed the Tyre region. It has changed Jesus to do new things in his ministry. She has moved the heart and mind of God. But let's not lose track of the simplicity of her achievement here. Her theology, it doesn't originate in books and study. Jesus compliments her reasoning, but not her faith. The Syrophoenician woman makes us consider what faith even means. Faith in this world, it's so often expressed of painfully experienced circumstances and needs. And in this case, the fierce love of a mother. Parents of really sick children, they don't wait around. And they do not take no or sorry for an answer, do they? This is Mama Bear in action. And sometimes desperation fosters courage that neither we nor God knew was present. Who says things like desperation, tenacity, aren't the same thing as faith when desperation and tenacity are brought to Jesus? In Mark, faith is hardly about getting Jesus' name or titles right, saying the right confession or the magic words of ritual or doctrine. In the Gospel of Mark, faith is about clinging to Jesus and expecting him to heal, restore, and save. We want Jesus to do what he says he came to do. If Jesus expects us to have faith in action, there ain't no reason to expect that God won't do that too. And so I'm going to leave you with these final thoughts. The Syrophoenician woman, I think she reflects our deepest fears and our most fervent hopes, both at once. She is each of us at some points in her life journey. If you can't see yourself in her, just wait. It'll come. What we do know is that she's here today and has been to all those who have sat in these pews. Maybe they're the ones whose reputation discourages them from getting too involved, or the one who seems to avoid having to mix with the churchy insiders. They keep coming back, fiercely convinced that no matter how bad things are, they can come here. And they can argue with God for grace and faith. It's got to be true for them too. And so we need to be there to stand with them. Just like Jacob, they're not letting go until they're included. Even as society passes laws that single them out with the express purpose to exclude and discriminate against them, they deserve to be seen as fully human. They deserve fair housing. They deserve child care services. They deserve a living minimum wage. They deserve full coverage for health and mental health services. They deserve access to the entire breadth of responsible maternity care without the state getting over-involved in a choice between a woman, her doctor, and her God. And they deserve to be welcomed to new life and new hope when fleeing for their lives. Because you know what? The baby Jesus and his parents had to do that over 2,000 years ago. They were alien in the land once upon a time. And Egypt didn't throw them out. They were refugees and they stayed until things settled down. God fights for dignity and grace when we remind ourselves that crumbs aren't enough. In the richest country the world has ever seen, there is enough. There has to be enough to go around. And so when we remember that our God is bigger than any of the limits we try to impose, I think great things are possible. May this woman's faith represent that faith in us, around us, and make us, all of us, see the world with new eyes and hear the world with new ears in 2025. Thanks be to God. Amen.